parses are always rich, and I try to pick a portion to concentrate on. It covers so much. This morning, we're going to look at chapter 14, starting in verse 10. Now, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around the way, by the way of the wilderness, towards the Red Sea. Now, soon after allowing the children of Israel to depart from Egypt, Pharaoh chases them down and tries to force them to return. The Israelites find themselves trapped between Pharaoh's armies and the sea. God tells Moses to raise his staff over the water. The sea splits to allow the Israelites to pass through. Then he closes over the pursuing Egyptians. Moses and the children of Israel sing a song of praise and gratitude to God. So let's look at the text. Chapter 14, starting in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. 2.5 million people. In the desert, led by God himself, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You may ask, how is it possible that they could doubt God? They've seen all these miraculous signs among them. But don't we? Don't we do the same thing? Sometimes we do doubt. We have a greater miracle than they did. They had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. We have the Holy Spirit which resides in us. The key is here. Stand and let God fight for you. We need to heed these words in our own life. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. This is 2 Chronicles 20:17. What God tells Jehoshaphat in this passage is that we need to be reminded of this today. The battle is not ours. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. We really don't have a fight in it. In 2 Kings, an army of angels helped Elisha defeat the army of Aram. Why do we have trouble accepting this? I have found that when I'm up against something, that if I let God deal with it, it always turns out better. Whenever I deal with it, I usually deal with it in my flesh, and it turns out really bad. In the desert, the people suffer, thirst, and hunger. They repeatedly complain. God miraculously sweetens the bitter waters of Marah. And later, Moses brings forth water from a rock by striking it with his staff. The second time, he was told to speak to the rock, but instead he struck it. And we all know how that turned out. The rock, another miraculous sign. This rock, the water coming forth from this rock for 2.5 million people. The only thing I can imagine, have you ever seen the Feather River? When it's at its peak and the snow melt is going and the rapids and this water just gushing down the river. That's what I envisioned coming forth from this rock. It wasn't a little stream. You had 2.5 million people and their livestock that they had to water. That's what I imagined. This rock. How big was this rock? I don't know, but it was pretty big. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says that this rock that followed them in the desert was Messiah. Now, some would argue this point, but why is this so far-fetched? Pillars of cloud and fire, shoes that didn't wear out, manna from heaven. Why not a rock that followed them? God causes manna to rain down from heaven before or dawn each morning. Quails appear in the Israelite camp each evening. Manna, manu, manhu. What is that? Manhu. They didn't know, but it was good. The children of Israel are instructed to gather a double portion of manna on Friday, and none will descend on Shabbat. The divinely decreed date of rest. Some disobey, go to gather manna on the seventh day but find nothing. Others disobey and try to gather more than they should on other days, and it ends up rotting. Although Aaron preserves a small quantity in a jar as a testimony for future generations. How come we're never satisfied? We're never satisfied, it seems. Numbers 11 tells us about the quail that God sent to the camp. Verses 18 to 20, it reads, "Consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If we only had meat to eat, we'd be better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. And you will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils and you loathe it. Because you have rejected the Lord who was among you and have wailed before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" Oh, my gosh. I can just see it, you know. "You will eat it and you will like it," you know. So I hear Moses saying, this tells me we need to be careful about what we complain about. Are we ever really satisfied? God promised to meet our needs as we walk with him, but sometimes we forget what needs really are. What are needs? Cell phone, internet. Some people consider those needs. Food, clothing, shelter. Those are our needs. God promised to provide those needs for us. I've also had the experience of trying to help people with their needs when they come to the church. And we have to explain sometimes what needs are and what needs aren't. We always try to help out as much as we can with rent, with car repairs, with food. There's, you know, as much as we can do as a small congregation. So who do we trust? And where do we place our trust? We cannot trust in the things of this world. We cannot trust in jobs, bank accounts, relationships. If we do, we will be miserable. Unfortunately, I see and know a lot of miserable people. Now, what can we take away from this? There are many lessons to be learned, but two stand out. Trust God in all circumstances and obey God in all ways. These are easy to say, but so difficult to actually do. We fall so short even when we consciously try to do these things. We don't need to be discouraged when we fail. We need to keep trying. Never give up. Shabbat Shalom.